Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. Hello, and welcome back to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. This podcast is mostly focused on building wealth, financial freedom, and living your best life. On the opposite end of that spectrum may be living in burnout. So burnout was the subject that I talked about at the White Coat Investor Conference in 2023, but it's not a subject that I've really talked about on this podcast, and so I thought it was long overdue. Burnout syndrome was first described in the early 1970s by psychoanalyst Herbert Fredenberger. In his original 1974 article, Fredenberger described the state of burnout as being as, quote, becoming exhausted by making excessive demands on energy, strength, or resources, end quote. He really described this as a consequence of severe stress and the high ideals of helping professions. Fredenberger wasn't the first to use the term burnout, but he popularized the term with the publication of multiple articles. He talked about the physical symptoms such as exhaustion, fatigue, frequent headaches, and gastrointestinal disorders. His thoughts of burnout were really based on his own personal observations as well as introspection. He personally worked at a free clinic in New York City, and he also wrote that those that were dedicated and committed were most likely to burn out. So burnout has since been included in the 11th revision of the International Classification of Diseases, the ICD-11, as an occupational phenomenon. It is not classified as a medical condition. Burnout is defined in the World Health Organization's ICD-11 as follows. Burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It's characterized by three dimensions: feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job, or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job, and reduced professional efficacy. So over time, that triad of cynicism, decreased productivity, and exhaustion has somewhat changed to now it's more looked at physical and or emotional exhaustion, loss of personal identity, and sense of reduced accomplishment as the three components of burnout. So what is the prevalence of burnout among physicians? Well, in one study, 62.8% of physicians were burned out in 2021. The COVID pandemic certainly is thought to have increased physician burnout, but physician burnout was high even before the pandemic. In 2014, it was reported to be 54.4%. And generally, if you look at different studies, it ranges from 40 to 60%. There have been surveys done by Medscape that surveyed physicians about burnout. In the survey published in 2022, emergency medicine is a specialty with the highest rate of burnout at 60%. That's followed by critical care at 56% and OBGYN at 53%. The majority of specialties had burnout ranging from 35% to 50%. The lowest specialty on the burnout scale was public health and preventive medicine at 26%, with the second lowest dermatology at 33%. So how do you know if you are burned out? Well, do you have the symptoms of burnout? Are you cynical about work? Do you lack energy? Do you find it hard to concentrate? Do you lack satisfaction at work? Are you feeling disillusioned about your job? Are you finding yourself being irritable or impatient with coworkers, staff, or patients? If you are having these symptoms, then it is very possible that you are facing burnout. So what causes burnout? Well, lots of things cause burnout, and it's different from different people. But generally, here are some things that are really looked at for the cause of burnout. Lack of control. Having the inability to influence decisions that affect your job, such as your schedule, workload, or your assignments, can really help lead to job burnout. Also, lacking resources that you need to do your work, which often in the medical field we can face depending on our situation. Extremes of activity can be another cause of burnout. So when you're at work and there are times where it's more monotonous And then other times where it's chaotic, where you need to have constant energy to remain focused, that can also lead to fatigue and exhaustion, which can lead to job burnout. Having a lack of social support is another cause of burnout. If you're feeling isolated at work or in your personal life, then you're likely to feel more stressed. Having a work-life imbalance can also contribute to burnout. If your work is really taking up so much of your time that you just don't have the energy to spend time with family or friends or do things that you enjoy or rest, then you're more likely to burn out as well. Another cause of burnout is also dysfunctional workplace dynamics. If you have a boss that's really asking you to do things that you disagree with, if you're being undermined by your colleagues, or your boss micromanages your work, all these can contribute to job stress. So the Medscape also did a survey of what contributes most to physician burnout, and the number one thing was too many bureaucratic tasks like charting and paperwork. And that was at 60%. Lack of respect from administrators, employers, colleagues, or staff was 39%. Too many hours at work, 34%. Having a lack of autonomy or control over life was 32%. For me personally, lack of control and autonomy over my life and my job was really what led me to burnout when I personally had burnout. At the time, I was working for a hospital that was a level one trauma center, and I was the only oculoplastic specialist, so I was on call 24/7. I had agreed to this 24/7 call, in exchange I wouldn't take what's called globe call. I would only take oculoplastics call. And honestly, during fellowship training and a lot of fellowships across the country, they are on 24/7 call for 2 years. In my fellowship, we had two fellows, so I was on call 50%. In oculoplastics, the call doesn't really involve going in so much at the middle of the night. The surgeries can generally wait and be scheduled later in the week. I did have residents. So in my mind, the idea was the resident call would see any patient for oculoplastics issues, and they would let me know what's going on, and then I would set that patient up to have outpatient surgery. However, a lot of things that happened at the hospital and the way my division chair really wanted me to take call was just such a way that I felt like I wasn't really having my autonomy and really was contributing to my own burnout. Other things that contributed to burnout, according to this Medscape study, included insufficient compensation or salary, increased computerization of the practice, lack of respect from patients, government regulations, and then there was stress from social distancing and societal issues related to COVID-19, as well as stress from treating COVID-19 patients. Job burnout risk factors include having a heavy workload, working long hours, and just being in healthcare. And there are a lot of consequences to job burnout. Burnout can cause sleep problems, alcohol or substance misuse, depression. It could lead to divorce. And there's also health issues with burnout, including heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. And some physicians unfortunately pay the ultimate price and die by suicide. Physician suicide rates are twice that of the general population. So I just want to take a minute to distinguish burnout from moral injury. The term moral injury was used to describe soldiers' responses to their actions in war. Moral injury was first described in a publication in 2009 as, quote, potentially morally injurious events, such as perpetrating, failing to prevent, or bearing witness to acts that transgress deeply held moral beliefs and expectations, may be deleterious in the long term, emotionally, psychologically, behaviorally, spiritually, and socially, what we label as moral injury, end quote. In 2018, Dr. Simon Talbot and Dr. Wendy Dean wrote a piece where they titled, Physicians Aren't Burning Out, They're Suffering from Moral Injury. Dr. Talbot is a reconstructive plastic surgeon at Brigham and Women's Hospital and associate professor of surgery at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Dean is a psychiatrist, as well as vice president of business development and the senior medical officer at Henry M. Jackson Foundation for the Advancement of Military Medicine. Or at least these were their positions when they wrote the paper. and don't really know what they're doing now. In the paper, they made the case how physicians are essentially on the battlefield of healthcare. They point out a lot of reasons that physicians are really experiencing moral injury as opposed to burnout. For example, the inability to provide high-quality healthcare within a broken healthcare system. So physicians must actually consider multiple factors other than the patient's best interest when deciding on treatment. And that includes financial implications for the patient, for the clinic, for the hospital, and even the physician, as well as things like insurance coverage. We also have a fear of litigation and fear of malpractice, and this can lead physicians to overtest as well as overtreat. Now, pre-screening scores are used in order to look at patient satisfaction, and these scores and ratings can actually interfere with a physician's ability to really speak to their patients honestly and give unwelcome advice. Physicians might actually feel pressured to give a treatment that they don't actually think is right, like giving someone with viral symptoms an antibiotic. There's also the business practice of hospital systems to encourage internal referral, and that might actually even lead to delayed care or suboptimal care. And I know that when I was in a hospital system, we were told basically that we should be referring within the hospital system. However, there were other specialists in the city that might actually be a better fit for the patient. And in the end, the hospital couldn't necessarily tell us not to tell the patient to try to go see another specialist in another system. But depending on the system and the ease of referrals and getting patients in and the way the systems are built, it can be more difficult to refer outside the system, or at least more work for the physician to refer outside the system. What I will say is that some people suggest that burnout means that there is a deficiency of resilience and resourcefulness, so it puts the blame on the individual. But physicians are resourceful people, and we are very resilient people. There's so much that we had to do to get to where we are, and I don't think that's true at all. And burnout is prevalent in a lot of other fields, not just among those in medicine. You hear about engineers having burnout as well, people in the tech field having burnout. I don't think it's necessarily an issue of resilience, but there is a little bit of an argument that moral injury makes the system the culprit. Again, I will say that physicians are resilient and resourceful, but even if it is the system that's the culprit, we can't wait for the system to get fixed. So whether or not you think you have burnout or you have moral injury, either way, we can't really wait for the hospital systems to actually solve healthcare. We really need to take control of our life now. For many physicians, our greatest asset is our ability to work as physicians. And until we get to that point where we have enough investments that our money is making money for us so that we don't have to actually trade our time for money, including working as physicians, then we really have to find a way to be in the healthcare system without burnout or facing moral injury. I do think that physician culture and conditioning from medical training also contributes to our susceptibility to being burned out. As a medical student, hard work is really praised, right? As a resident, as a fellow, putting in long hours is normal. And there's a sense of perfectionism in medicine. And of course, we don't want to harm any patient, but perfect is a standard that is just really unachievable. I mean, we're human, we're going to make mistakes, even though we might not want to make mistakes and try everything we can not to make mistakes. We're not going to be perfect all the time, especially when we are working long hours and to the point of exhaustion. There's also the sense of that as physicians, we should be empathetic to our patients, but still also be emotion-free, right? If we have a bad complication or a patient dies or something else happens, we see a lot of horrific things as physicians that we still need to be able to be professional and continue to do our work and stay calm. If we have a patient that dies, you know, we might feel sad, such that we really do want to take time to cry. So I really think that we need to talk about changing the narrative. And instead of really praising kind of being a workaholic and strong work, that work really stays at work and we have planned rest and we have planned time off and it's fine to have that time. Instead of perfectionism, really realizing that physicians are human too. I think a lot of our patients don't actually necessarily think of their physician as just another human. I mean, I think they know that objectively their physician's a human, but they still expect physicians to act in a superhuman way. Instead of the idea of being emotion-free, really being able to embrace our feelings, being able to take time out when we need to, when something happens where it does bring up a lot of emotion and we want to actually have that time to feel the emotion and process that emotion. You know, there's been that adage of the patient comes first. And how many times do we hear the patient comes first? I mean, I know during my training, I felt like it was a mantra. You know, the patient comes first. Well, when we hear that the patient comes first, then in a way, that's everyone, the system, telling us that we don't come first, right? That we need to take care of the patient before we take care of ourselves, before we take care of our family, before we take care of our loved ones. And really, I think that's also a narrative that needs to change. So when you get on the airplane, what does every flight attendant say at the beginning of the flight? Put your own oxygen mask on before helping others. And it makes sense, right? If we run out of oxygen, then we just become a liability. If we constantly help other people put on masks, eventually we're going to run out of oxygen. We don't put our masks on first. Well, while that seems obvious when it comes to putting on oxygen masks, we don't do that in medicine. We take care of everyone else at our own expense. And then we burn out, and then we don't want to practice medicine anymore. 10% of physicians left the practice of medicine last year. If physicians continue to burn out and they leave medicine, then we can't take care of patients, right? Physicians who are leaving medicine are no longer taking care of patients. And so this is why we really need to change the narrative to taking care of ourselves first. And this is why I'm such a proponent of financial freedom. Once you've reached financial freedom, then work becomes optional. And I'm not saying that that means that you need to leave your practice of medicine. Hopefully you enjoy parts of your practice of medicine. I currently really enjoy the medicine that I'm doing. I really enjoy my current job at my clinic where I'm really getting to be an acroplastic surgeon and primarily see patients for consultation for procedures or for surgery. So if each physician can find a way that they can practice medicine in a way that's fulfilling, that they want to continue to practice, then we can have a healthier healthcare system. It is my belief that when we have financial freedom, we're in a stronger place to negotiate for what we actually want out of work. When we have financial freedom, we can always walk away from the current job and look for something else. And if it takes a few months, it's fine. We can be pickier and choosier, and we can really think about what we want and find that specific situation. So this is why I'm such a proponent of all physicians investing so that they can get financial freedom, not so that they can necessarily retire early, though if that's what you want to do, then kudos to you. But I don't want all physicians to leave medicine. I want physicians to be happy at their practice of medicine. And I believe that financial freedom really can help with physicians being able to find a way to be happy in their practice of medicine. So that's my dream. That's my passion. That's my goal with Grow Your Wealthy Mindset, is to really help physicians achieve financial freedom, get that plan in place so that they can be in a strong place to negotiate, so that they can practice medicine because they want to, not because they have to. I also think it's important to not wait until you get to financial freedom to live the life that you want to live, to kind of imagine what your ideal life is and to make every day closer to that ideal life. And there's always going to be ups and downs. There's going to be things that happen. Even when you have financial freedom, there are going to be things that happen to make you upset, to make you mad, to make you angry, to where you're going to face negative emotion. But I think in having that financial freedom, being financially independent so that you don't feel tied to your job, that you can feel secure without having a regular paycheck, can really set so many people free. So if that sounds good to you, I really want you to consider working with me. Let me help you achieve financial freedom. Let's build that plan together. If this resonates with you, sign up for a discovery call at my website, growyourwealthymindset.com, and we can sit and chat about what working together looks like. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could share it with your friends and colleagues. And now for the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial planner, accountant,
or attorney, and nothing I say should be construed as professional investment, tax, or legal advice. This show is primarily for your education and entertainment. I am a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please contact your own physician. Thank you.